All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. And let's begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to speak on this subject of a living hope. A living hope. Every sinner that's born again by the Spirit of God has a living hope. We have a living hope. It's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Spirit of God has given us the grace of hope. He gives you this grace called hope. He gives you hope in your heart. It's a gift of hope that He's given in our heart. And the hope for which we wait, for which we look, to which we are confidently expecting, is the hope of glory with Christ. The hope of glory with Christ. He describes it here in verse 4 as an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now the Scriptures tell us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You and I are all going to die. Every man, woman, every child of Adam shall die. And this life is a vapor. It is passing by quickly. I heard those old folks talk about that when I was younger. And, you know, it just seemed like time was dragging by. Because I was always wanting to do some new thing and looking forward to it and having to wait for the time to get here. You get older, you've done most of all those things, and time just seems like it's just clicking off. It's just going by so quickly. But it really is a vapor. James said, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Does it seem to you like it's been 15 years since we started together? It's 14, I believe, 14 or 15, something like that. That just seems like yesterday. But it's just vanishing away. Every sinner saved by grace is begotten again to a living hope. And it's a good hope. It's a sure hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have something we're looking forward to. It gives us peace. It gives us comfort as we pass through this wilderness. I was talking to Miss Shelby yesterday. She was telling me about some brethren that are very, very sick right now. And Brother Lindsay is very, very sick. And then we began to talk about some brethren we know that are going through different troubles. And right away, as we began to talk about these things, our conversation turned to this living hope. We began to talk about this good hope we have by God's grace. This living hope comforts you as you're passing through this veil of tears. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, Paul said, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Paul talked about this in Romans 8, and he said, and it reminded me of the scripture when we were talking yesterday. He said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We've experienced the adoption of regeneration, and now we're waiting for that adoption, the redemption of our body, into glory with Him. For we are saved by hope, He said. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is what we're waiting for. We're waiting for this sure end that our Lord's promised us. That's our hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's not just, I hope something happens. This is a sure hope. What gives us this good hope? I want to know that. I'm interested in that, aren't you? What is this sure hope? How do we have it? How do we have it? What is the real comfort of this hope? And what is it? When you have it, you're going to be comforted when the time of your departure is at hand. You'll be comforted by this good hope. I want to know what it is. What is the essence of it? Well, first thing, this living hope is by being born again by the Spirit of God. That's how we're given this grace of hope in our heart, to hope for that glory with Christ. We have to be born again of God. Peter said there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto this lively hope. Being born of Adam, we're all born in sin. Being born of Adam, we don't have this living hope. We don't have anything living when we're born of Adam, spiritually speaking. We come into this world dead in sin. David said, I was conceived in sin. I was conceived in sin. And I was shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. And so were you. It was all Adam's children. Fallen, sinful children of Adam. Paul said in Romans 7:17, sin dwelleth in me. As a born-again child of God, Paul said, that sin dwelleth in me. In this sin nature. It's all we have as we come into this world. It's just a dead sin nature. No one had to teach us to sin. Nobody had to teach you to be envious and jealous and hateful and covetous and all that. Nobody had to teach you that. We come into this world born in sin, conceived in sin. And so you know what we do? We sin. There's only one man ever in this world who sinned to become a sinner. That was Adam. You and I sin because that's what we are as we come into this world. This living hope begins when we're made alive spiritually. When we're born again of the Spirit of God. Born again. A new birth has occurred. A new baby is formed within these sinners called a new man, a new spirit that our Lord gives. It's by the incorruptible seed, the living Word that lives and abides forever. And so it makes our new man live and abide forever. It's a new man. From Adam, all we received was a corrupt nature. From Christ, we're given this new nature, made partakers of the divine nature. Christ formed in the sinner, brought to faith in Christ. This is the substance of this hope. This is the essence of this hope. This living hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Paul said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus. According to His abundant mercy, He's begotten us again to a living hope. No wonder Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. No wonder he said abundant mercy. He made us born again to this living hope. So first of all, it's blessed. It's abundant mercy because here's the thing about this new birth. And don't ever let anybody tell you different on this. We're as passive in this new birth as we were in our first birth. That's right. This is of God. This is of our Redeemer. This is of the Holy Spirit that we're born again of God.
So this is all according to His abundant mercy. Now that's how we brought into this living hope. Now secondly, this living hope is being made the righteousness of God. If you're going to have this hope, we're going to have to know we've been made the righteousness of God. By Adam's disobedience, we were all made sinners, guilty before the law of God. Now, not one of us has a righteousness of our own. Nobody on this earth has a righteousness of our own. None of us do. There's not one is good. Not one is righteous. Not one. Not one. We can't work out a righteousness God will receive. It's not our works. It's not something we've done that makes us righteous and is this righteousness that we must have. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We saw in David this morning, the man after God's own heart, we saw how quickly he was taken away. He went down and lived a year and 4 months in the land of the Philistines in total unbelief. Our righteousness is not of us. Now, when we know something about ourselves and know something about the sinfulness that we are in our nature, that's the best news you'll ever hear. God has provided His own righteousness. God has provided a perfect righteousness for His people. Oh, bless God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is abundant mercy. Men will object and they'll say, well, I know some good folks. I know some good folks. I know some who always do what's right. They may look good to us. They may look good in comparison to other sinners. But there's none righteous before God. Not one. I don't care how good his deeds are. He can't stand before God on his own doing. Not one. None righteous. No, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That never ceases to be the truth with us, brethren. Never does. A sinner has got to be made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. This righteousness is by the obedience of another. It's completely and totally by the obedience of another. Just like guilt came upon us, we became guilty before God by the disobedience of another. Adam in his headship is a picture of Christ. And just like we became guilty in another in Adam, the only way we can be made the righteousness of God is in the obedience of another, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. So this living hope is by the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Adam didn't give us the possibility of being made sinners. He made us sinners by his disobedience. And Christ doesn't give men and women the possibility of being made righteous. He made his people righteous. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He makes his people right. He made us righteous. This living hope is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does that resurrection say to you? What does that resurrection testify to us, brethren? Christ arose because God is pleased with his obedience. He arose. He's righteousness alone. He arose never again to die. He's the only one that ever did this. Of his own, by his own obedience, being well-pleasing to God, he arose from the dead because God's pleased with him. And when you're begotten again and you're given faith to really behold Christ Jesus, that's what you behold. He was raised again for our justification. Look over at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. This, what I'm telling you right now, brethren, this is the hope we have. This is it. We have been made the righteousness of God by Christ. This is our hope. Right here. Look, Romans 4:25, it's talking about how righteousness was imputed to Abraham through faith, and it shall be imputed to us if we believe on the Lord Jesus. And it says of him in verse 25, he was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When He gives you faith to behold Christ risen, and He makes you to know in the court of your conscience that He was risen for you. He laid down His life for His people in perfect obedience to God. He brought in an everlasting righteousness for His people, and He's going to make His people know about it. God's not going to pour out justice on our Redeemer and turn around and pour out justice on one for whom He died. He already satisfied justice. So He's going to bring this good news to His people and quicken you and bring you to faith in Christ. And when He speaks this gospel into our hearts, He makes you personally know He died and rose again for my justification. And oh boy, when you see that maybe you went through life and you thought that you'd always been taught that it's by your faith that you're justified. And don't misunderstand me. It's always through faith that this justification, this righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. But some of us went through life being told that we're justified by faith. And the way we were taught this is that our faith contributed to our justification. But He makes you to see Christ really, He really accomplished the work. He really did what He came to do. He did not fail. He really made His people righteous by His obedience. And when He's given you true faith, you see He's all your righteousness. He's all your justification. And you lay hold of Him. And when you have this realization in your heart that He is truly all your righteousness, you're standing in His grace and all the blessings that He has by faith, and it's you enter in by His grace, you stand and you rejoice then in the hope of the glory of God. You rejoice in that hope of one day entering into that glory of God, into that glory with Christ Jesus. You have this hope. As Paul said in Galatians, we're waiting by faith for this hope of righteousness. We have righteousness now imputed to us. And we have a new man created in His righteousness. But one day, brethren, this is our hope. We're going to be raised to glory and we're going to be made perfectly righteous with no sin whatsoever. And that righteousness is a person. It's our Lord. We want to see Him. We want to behold Him. Through faith, this faith that God gives us to rest in Christ, imputation is spoken of in Scripture very simply as this. God clothed us in Christ's righteousness. He clothed us in His righteousness. Our living hope is Christ, our living Redeemer. And we stand right now as believers, as those made righteous by Christ. Get this, believer. This is the essence of hope. This is what makes the hope sure and confident and makes you expect it. We stand before Christ on His merit, on the value of His person and His eternality and what He is and what He's accomplished. We stand in Him right now without fault, without blame, unreprovable in the sight of the all-knowing God. I know we don't see that in ourselves. Good thing we don't. I hope we don't. But brethren, that's what God says in the book. And that's why, that's why we pray, Lord, let us be found in Christ alone. In Christ alone. It's not a good hope to seek acceptance with God based on our works. Now, I pray God works good works in us and works that which is well-pleasing in His sight in us. But we're not going to be accepted based on our works, brethren. We accept it in the Beloved. Christ's righteousness is the blessed wedding garment. His righteousness is the wedding garment. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewel, He's covered me with the robe of His righteousness. There's where hope is. This living hope is believing God. It's believe in His promises that all our sin and all our guilt is gone and that He will not impute sin to us because Christ put it away and there's no sin to impute. We're talking about before God's law now. We're talking about before that same law that condemned us and said we were guilty now says there is now no condemnation. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, this is why the hymn writer wrote this. Hymn writer wrote, When I stand before His throne in that day, this is what my hope is anticipating. This is that glory we're waiting on right here. When I stand before His throne, dressed in beauty not my own, then, O Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I owe. We're going to know this thing. We're going to know what He did and who He is and how valuable and, oh, how abundant in mercy. Well, thirdly, let me go to this next thing. This living hope is knowing God shall keep us unto that day. This living hope is knowing He's going to keep His child unto that day. Peter said there in 1 Peter 1:5, he's begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to this inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who's He talking about? You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our Lord promised us this. Now, this is the Lord's promise. I want to get this, and I want to try to remember this, and it is make it stop me from murmuring and stop me from complaining. Our Lord promised us in this life, you shall have tribulation. He promised us that. And it's a must needs be. Peter says there, if need be. It's a need be. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble. We saw this morning, what did David's trouble? David's trouble was his own fault. But what did his trouble, how did it end? It ended with him shut up to Christ, looking away from himself and knowing just a little better that in him didn't dwell anything good. It was all in his Redeemer. All in his Redeemer. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our Lord told Peter, the devil has desired you, Peter, that he might sift you as wheat. And we're frail children of dust. That's what we are. Let him think that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's what happened. Somewhere between 1 Samuel 26 and 1 Samuel 27. David was given grace to be merciful to Saul. And somewhere between the last verse of chapter 26 and the first verse 27, David got to thinking that he did that. That was just a little bit of him. And he fell. He fell. But God our Father in His Son Jesus Christ is omnipotent God. He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty. He remembers we're dust. He remembers we're dust. This living hope is knowing God promises to keep us by His power. He's going to keep us by His power. His power gave us faith. It gave us the life and gave us the faith. And His power is going to enable us to continue believing on Him. You know, when we're in the place David was, when he just in complete and total unbelief, how are we going to be recovered? It's only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. We're going to fight the good fight. We're going to keep the faith to the end. We're going to continue in the Word. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition. We're going to continue. We're not going to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. But it's going to be all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. There's only one way. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, faith is not looking back to an experience. He's not keeping us in this faith that's looking back to something or something that we've done. A living hope is kept alive by the power of God keeping us looking to Christ today. Today. How people get to talk about their experiences and this and that. And I don't want to be kept believing Him today. I want to be kept believing Him today. I don't want to feed on yesterday's bread. I want to feed on bread today. Today. Lamentations 3:21, he said, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope." Here's where my hope is. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Every morning they're new. Great is His faithfulness. The Lord's my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. Is there some sinner here that God has made you to see for the first time that you really need Christ and you cannot go on without Him? Has He made you see that? Is there a believer here this morning who's cast down because of your sins? And you're looking over your life and you're thinking, "Oh, I can't possibly be a child of God. How a child of God wouldn't have done that." Go to Christ right now. Whether it's the first time He's ever brought you to see your need of Him, or you're a believer that's been in the faith a long time and you see what a sinner you are, go to Christ right now. Don't move a toe. Go to Him right now in your heart. Cast it all on Him. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, confessing your utter, total ruin before Him and your absolute need of Him. Go to Him. The psalmist said, "Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish." You'll hear Him say this. He'll say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee. Go and sin no more." How do you know that? If you come to Him truly by His grace in faith, with nothing in your hand but trusting Him alone, Him alone, I guarantee you He won't turn you away. He never has. He delights in mercy. "Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he might dwell in Thy courts forever." Is there a believer mourning because you got a sick loved one? You got a sick loved one and they're pressing their head against that pillow that they're about to soon depart, and you know it and your heart's breaking, or one has departed and your heart's breaking? Are you facing some trouble in providence and you don't know what to do and you can't figure it out? You don't know what the Lord's doing? Same answer. Go to Christ right now. Go to Christ right now. Flee to the God of all grace. Flee to the God of hope. He'll direct your steps. Whatever the case is, whatever the trouble is, whatever the sorrow is, go to Him who is the consolation of Israel. Go to Christ who is the strength of His people. Go to Christ who is the hope of God. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." I'll praise Him who is the health of my countenance. Here's the point. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Our hope of glory is our hope today. It's our hope today. Christ has entered into God's presence to make intercession as the high priest of His people for this hour, right now. Right now. He's our hope for this hour, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which hope entereth into that within the veil where Christ has entered, our forerunner, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Right now, we get to thinking about hope is I know we're hoping for something far off, I know, but I'm hoping for Christ to come
right now. I need him right now. I need him today. I need him this hour, don't you? And he's ever living to intercede. Our living hope goes to Christ, to his throne of grace daily, hourly, with a good hope. He's going to hear me. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Now, one more thing, and I'm going to be done. I'll be very brief. Living hope knows our Savior shall raise us to be with Him forever. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're hoping for. Our Lord is going to raise us to be with Him forever. Now, Christ is that hope of glory. He is that one we're looking for. It's Him. You know, I'm sure that, you know, we can't help but wonder what glory is going to be like. We can't help but wonder what heaven's going to be like. And we have some descriptions of it in the Scripture. And we're going to be amazed by what it's like. I'm certain of that. To be in a place where there is no sin. Everyone is righteous and holy without sin, who everybody there loves perfectly. That's going to be amazing. But isn't it Christ you want to see? Isn't it Christ you want to see in all His glory and know Him perfectly? Oh, boy. That's that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Our earnest expectation is He's going to come in the hour appointed, that God's appointed for us. And He's going to raise us in spirit out of these dead bodies. And He's going to raise us into His presence. And we're going to behold Him as He is. Whew. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And He'll stand at the latter day upon the earth. This is hope being vocalized right here. This is what this is. This is Job speaking of his hope. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'm going to see Him. He's going to raise these bodies new. Right now, we see through a glass darkly. We see so feebly. We want to act like we really know something, and we get all defensive over what we know. And we just don't know much, brethren. We just don't. But in that day, we're going to see Him and know Him just like He knows us right now. And then we won't need hope anymore. Paul said, what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Then our hope will be realized. We will have that for which we hope, Christ the Lord. Brethren, assurance of hope is not in our works. When we've done everything God commanded, we have to say we're unprofitable servants. Man at his best states altogether vanity. Surely my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. A living hope is given. It's not a reward. It's not merited by us. It's not due to any merit in us. It's a good hope through grace. Through grace. Look to Christ. And it's founded on God's Word. It's founded on God's Word. I hope you have a feeling. I hope you feel this. I want a living hope, don't you? I want to feel it. I want to know it. But I'm not basing it on what I feel. It's based on God's Word. It's based on God's Word. Not as some say, well, God said it and I believe it and that makes it so. Whether I believe it or not, God said it and it's so. And my faith, my hope is built on this Word. God said it. Because there's a lot of times I don't feel like it. And there's a lot of times I can't believe it. But God said it. There's where my foundation is. Remember the Word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That's what we're talking about. Our hope is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. Turn your eyes upon Christ Jesus on the cross. Turn your eyes upon Him. Hear Him cry, "It is finished." Behold Him seated there at God's right hand. There's our hope. There He is. And now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. Father, thank You for these words. Thank You for the blessed word of promise we have in Your immutable word. Thank You, Lord, for the finished salvation we have in Christ. Lord, we ask You, please fill us with Your Spirit. Make us abound in this hope. Make us have the joy and comfort of knowing we have a good hope, a sure hope, a confident expectation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank You, Lord, for our brethren. We ask Your blessings upon Brother Laxman and Sister Davika as they are going to be moving to Florida. We pray, Lord, that You would keep them. Lord, whatever Your hand has in store for Your people, we ask You to bring us to bow to Your will. Bring us to know that it's best. Bring us to remember Your sovereign grace and Your keeping hand. Let us encourage one another with that wonderful good news that, Lord, You always do everything right, and You do it for Your people. Even the things we don't see, and those things we see that we think are against us, are working some bad for us, Lord, make us to remember You're working it all together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to Your purpose. Thank You, Lord, that You are God, and our God is our Savior, Christ Jesus. Keep us, Lord. By Your grace, we ask it. Be with those that don't know You. If there's one of Your lost sheep, we ask You to bless the word to their hearts. Make them truly cast a care on You, Lord. Be with our brethren everywhere. Brother Lindsay and Sister Diane, be with those that are hurting from loss of their loved ones. And Lord, comfort Your people. We just dust and we need You. We need Your strength. Thank You, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can go ahead. Brother.